Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A Buffalo man is expected to serve extensive jail time after pleading guilty to a murder in the Maston Park neighborhood. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 45-year-old Martinko Jamel Caver has admitted to shooting and killing 33-year-old George McGee III in the early morning hours of September 5th, 2022. Authorities say Caver pleaded guilty to the highest count in full satisfaction of the indictment and now faces a sentence of 25 years to life in prison. April Baskin's election to the state Senate is creating a push from candidates seeking to replace her in the 2nd District of the Erie County Legislature. Last night, Taisha St. John Tard, the current chief of staff for the Buffalo Common Council, announced her candidacy.
As I stand here today, I'm reminded of my own journey. One that started right here in Buffalo, right here in this community, riding the same buses, walking the same streets, sharing the same hopes and dreams with so many of you. And that's why I'm here. District 2 deserves a leader that understands, that sees, and that will fight for us.
St. Jean Tard has reached out for an endorsement from the Erie County Democratic Party, along with former legislator Betty Jean Grant. The matter could be settled in the Democratic primary in June. A Tonawanda crematory is expected to close within 6 months following a series of state legislative and administrative moves. According to State Senator Sean Ryan and Assemblymember Bill Conrad, the Sheridan Drive crematory, operated by Amagon Funeral Home, had been the object of complaints from neighbors who said the facility emitted nuisance odors and soot. Legislation passed by Ryan and Conrad and signed into law by Governor Kathy Hochul revokes an exemption that allowed the crematory to continue operating at its current location. The Amagon Funeral Home at that location will be allowed to continue to operate. The Buffalo Common Council today is expected to discuss a resolution designed to increase transparency at the Buffalo Sewer Authority and the Buffalo Water Authority. Authored by council members Leah Halton Pope and Joseph Gollenbeck, the legislation calls on the authorities to hold board and committee meetings in public at central and accessible locations such as Buffalo City Hall. Scrutiny on the authorities has increased since the announced departure of O.J. McFoy, who currently sits as chair of the Buffalo Water Board and general manager of the Sewer Authority. McFoy is taking a job as a city engineer in Houston, Texas. And many city residents aren't ready for extreme winter weather. That's according to the Erie County Department of Health's Office of Health Equity, which surveyed residents at 6 winter preparedness sessions held by the city of Buffalo. Among the findings, 42% said they were, quote, moderately prepared for a winter storm, with only 4% very well prepared. Four local nonprofits, along with the City of Buffalo, have been awarded state funding to get vacant rental units back on the market. State Senator Sean Ryan says that $10.5 million in state cash is headed for Erie and Niagara counties, including the City of Buffalo and the City of Niagara Falls. WBFO's Holly Kirkpatrick has more.
State Senator Sean Ryan announced the awardees of the state funding just one day before he declared he's running for mayor of Buffalo. The cash is the first part of what Ryan calls his City of Good Neighbors housing plan to take effect and comes from a $90 million hoard he secured in this year's state budget for upstate housing needs. The awardees will administer the money to small-scale local landlords to fund repairs to vacant rental units, making them available to renters once again. The City of Buffalo is the only governmental recipient of the cash and has been awarded $2.5 million. But back in March, the Buffalo Common Council declined to adopt resolutions supporting Ryan's bid for the dollars from the state, instead receiving and filing the item with a 7-2 vote. Council President Christopher Scanlon was one of those who voted down those resolutions. He's been Buffalo's acting mayor since October and is expected to run against Ryan in next year's mayoral election. Holly Kirkpatrick, WBFO News.
Canada's postal strike is in its 12th day, and there has been little progress in talks between the union and Canada Post. Parcels and mail are not being delivered. By this time last year, during the holiday rush, some 10 million parcels were delivered during the same period as the strike. Charities and small businesses that depend on the mail are suffering, and the Federation of Independent Businesses is urging Ottawa to step in and get postal employees back on the job. We hear more now from correspondent Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Brianna Solberg is the Canadian Federation of Independent Business Director for the Prairies and Northern Canada.
So we have sent a letter earlier this week to the federal government calling on them, you know, to step in if necessary. We would have ideally hoped to see this come to an agreement through collective bargaining, but it doesn't seem like any end is in sight for this. And so ultimately, we may need binding arbitration or back-to-work legislation.
The strike is almost 2 weeks old, and small businesses are now feeling the bite. Solberg says 8 in 10 businesses still rely on the mail system to receive payments, pay bills, and send paychecks. Mark Lubinsky is the president of the Toronto Local of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. He says the union had no choice but to go on strike.
We feel for the small businesses. We feel for everyone, passport holders, so forth. But we had to do what we had to go on strike. Canada Post changed our conditions of employment. They took away our benefits. They took away our disability insurance. And what Canada Post has offered is not responsible. And what Canada Post is doing at the negotiating table is totally irresponsible because I believe they're not bargaining in good faith.
Meanwhile, small businesses are turning to private carriers for a price, and that's affecting their bottom line. Don McCowan has a hobby store and depends on this holiday period for shipping out products to customers.
Where we would pay $20 to $23 to ship something, that now it could be $40, $50, $60. The impact to us is our volumes have dropped over 75%.
Canada Post lost nearly $750 million last year and recently reported a loss of more than $300 million in the third quarter of this year. And some analysts say the Crown Corporation won't survive unless it dramatically transforms its business. Ian Lee is an associate professor at Carleton University's Sprott School of Business in Ottawa. He says the corporation should have pivoted its business years ago.
And now Canada Post finally realizes that they are facing death's door. They have lost, since 2006, 70% of all their core business in letters. And that continues to decline at 6 to 8 to 10% per year. In another 5 or 6 or 7 years, letter mail will have vanished from Canada.
Lee says what Canada Post doesn't understand is that it is on the verge of going out of business. Over 2 decades, it went from delivering 5.5 billion letters a year to 2 billion. And Lee says Canada Post squandered 10 years of opportunity. Canada Post has offered an 11% wage increase over 4 years. The union wants 24%. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Impeccably groomed and wearing a tailored suit, photographer Yves Richard Blanc projects an image of class, style, and sophistication. Meeting at his studio at the Trimaine Center, he reflected on a time when the picture was not so perfect.
About 3 years ago, I got very, very sick. I had a massive stroke with brain bleeds. I could say that I was really very close to death. And usually when these things happen with you, you have a chance to really think through what you're doing and how you're really maximizing what you're doing with your life.
As Blanc says it, it was like he was 6 months old, unable to walk, talk, and feed himself. His practice was shuttered for 6 months.
But when I came back, I really, through the process that I went through, I was really almost reborn through the process and the difficulty. But one of the things that really made me sad throughout the whole process was that I loved art and I lived for art. All sorts of art, including primarily photographic art. And I didn't find quite a bit of that in the process of rehabbing and getting better. Folks were around me. Personally, I'm an extremely strong-minded and very positive individual. And it was not easy for me to get better. So there were folks that were going through the same thing I was, but there was no joyous beauty around me when I was doing that. When I went home from my rehab, when I came home from the hospital, from rehabbing there and having procedures, there was always joy in my home because I had a lot of art there.
While he describes himself as 70% recovered, Blanc says every day he wakes up excited about getting to his work.
This is not a job for me. It is a passion. It is a love. Watching people, the smile on their faces or the excitement that they're working with me, or a CEO of a company using my branding to elevate not only their personal brand but their corporate brand as well, gives me a lot of joy. It is about on how I'm able to really connect with my clients that excites me. And the things that we can do together.
Born in Haiti, raised in Montreal, and trained in commercial photography at New York's Fashion Institute of Technology, Blanc arrived in Buffalo 20 years ago for what was expected to be a 2-year job. Confident in his skills, he admits the work needs to overcome a major hurdle. Most people don't like to have their picture taken.
So my job is to get them to relax and start thinking about something that's important to them, not to me. Because the session's really about them. It's not about me. I am there to really bring out the very best out of them. The physical component or the outside of someone, that's very easy because the lighting and the sequence will take care of that. But getting really their genuine self to come out and be easy is really a blessing that I'm able to do. And I've been doing this for such a long time. And I usually tell my clients, if you are truly yourself, people will see you. They'll see the outside. It's such a stunning portrait.
Calling himself an extremely strong-minded and very positive individual, Blanc has developed a new goal: to capture images of inspiration that can help transform hospital rooms, doctor's offices, and rehab centers. Searching for those spaces, last summer he traveled to Europe and Hawaii, where he would capture landscapes at sunrise and return for more as the sun went down.
Things that really bring the beauty of the world at such a level that when you see the art, it makes you feel like either you're part of nature or it ingests within you such an infusion of peace, right? And so that's my goal, because that's really part of why I am here today. Because understanding my love, and I was able to focus on that, on my art, really gave me the opportunity to fight for my life. And I'd love to be able to do that for others that are going through these kind of difficulties.
Well, thanks very much for your time today.
Well, it was absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
Yves Richard Blanc. How do you
do? Bien dit. It's well done.
You're too kind. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.